Hello and welcome back to another episode of Alec Mappa Hot Mess with Matthew Dempsey, psychotherapist. I'm Alec Mappa. I'm an actor and comedian and wife and mother.
And I'm Matthew Dempsey. I'm a multicultural counselor and psychotherapist. I'm very excited to talk about today's topic.
Well, me too. We're doing something different. We don't have a guest today, but we posted a question on Instagram.
Yes, we thought it'd be really fun to do a Q&A specifically about hookup culture. I want to tell you about the origin real quick. So I'm actually just starting to prep to do kind of like a series of other kind of like my own like YouTube videos and stuff.
You're making a big comeback to YouTube?
Yes, making a big comeback. Get ready. So I've been curious about what are the kinds of things that people want to talk about. And I came up with a list of topics and I sent it off to like about like 12 of my friends and just did like a little kind of survey. And I was interested to see all the ones that came up. And this topic was almost at the top. And so this topic today is hookup culture.
Do your friends all listen to the show?
They've listened to some, like, to support. I have one friend, actually, his name is Jason, and he listens to pretty much every single episode. Hi, Jason.
Hi, Jason. I have another friend, Graham Kurtz, who listens quite a lot. He listens quite a bit. You have a lot of fans. Nobody cares. Like, if I was on fire and they had a bucket of water.
That is absolutely not true. Everybody loves you, Alec. They would all run towards you.
Speaking of bathing suit, you just got back from vacation. You posted some very provocative photographs on your Instagram.
Curious, what makes them provocative?
I know, because you're undressed.
Beach vacation. I happen to be in, like, the beach and the pool. And
did I ever tell you what I used to do when I was a kid?
What did you do? We
had this thing back in the Jurassic era. It was called the Spiegel catalog. And it was like a phone book, and it had furniture and clothes and like a massive, massive catalog. And there was always a men's underwear section.
Oh.
Always, 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 always.
Yes.
And when I was a kid, I found that if I could take my thumb and cover the men's underwear.
Yeah.
It would look like they were naked.
Oh, well, that sounds amazing. I remember going to a department store near me. It was called Bradley's. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of like a Kmart or a Target or whatever. And you'd go to, or I would go as like any young gay boy would, go to like the men's underwear section and they would show you all the torsos and obviously everything with the underwear and the tight underwear.
And they had a little bulge. Woo! They had a little package even on the mannequins.
Yes, I know. Yeah. And what's interesting is, if you remember, you'd go and you'd look, but you would know that you could not let anybody see you checking it out. So you had to be secretive about it.
I'm just here looking at underwear.
What's wrong with that? Yeah, I love Fruit of the Loom. So, and interesting, as we're talking about hookup culture,
my point is,
I tried so hard to bring it back, everybody.
I know. My point is, if you go to Matthew's Instagram and put your thumb over his swimsuit, it looks like he's naked. That's it. That's my only point.
Okay. Well, we'll make another show on objectification and boundary setting. That's for another time. But this show is about hookup culture and all the ways we learn how to be sexualized.
Did you listen to last week's show? It's me and Jamie. Well, I mean, when it drops.
It hasn't posted yet.
So we talked about super, super personal stuff.
Okay.
And then at one point we said, the show is wrapping up. And I said, we haven't objectified Matthew yet. We haven't talked about how hot Matthew is. And so we did for about a minute. And then Jamie was going to do an impression of you. He does an impression of you when you get really excited, your voice gets up here. So,
how lovely to focus on those parts of my personality instead of objectifying
me. It's so endearing. It's so endearing. So the subject you and your pals came up with was
hookup culture.
Oh my God. I brought it back.
Does anybody else feel dizzied?
Did you see that?
Let's reorient ourselves and we brought it back. Okay. So hookup culture. Yes. Okay. And so we posted on social media, just a little bit of a poll about what questions everybody had for hookup culture. And we got some really, really great questions about it. And so that's what we're going to do today. We're going to read through some of the questions and then answer them in real time.
When I was a kid, when you said you want to hook up, it meant that you were just going to get together. And now it's like, and then when I was a young gay man of age, it was called cruising. When you just kind of want to meet somebody and you want to have sex with somebody, that is really arcane. That is like from the 50s and 70s cruising.
I would say yes, dominantly so. But I mean, even just a few weeks ago, we had Johnny Sibley on, and he was talking about how cruising's making a comeback. But when I think of cruising, I think of it as being the act of kind of meandering about and making eye contact and finding somebody to then go hook up.
Can you remember the very first time you did that?
To be honest with you, I'm very, very shy. So I never actually follow through with like a solid cruising moment. I'll maybe kind of make eye contact with somebody, but then I like run in the other direction.
I hope I find
them on social media.
This was a good thing that happened to me all the time in New York.
Yeah.
When I was a young, pretty young girl. I would walk down the street, make eye contact with somebody, and then look in a store window and then look back. And if they looked back, that was how we started.
Totally. And so yeah. I would do the same thing too. I'd walk down the street and I would make eye contact, and then I would look back and they would look back too. And then I would run in the other direction.
So somebody would
get nervous.
You would. What yes. about?
It's vulnerable. It is a stranger. That's a normal thing to feel uncomfortable in a moment like that.
All right.
But I will tell you though, that something that I feel very comfortable doing is like, I would go, I mean, this was around the time, I think, when maybe like Manhunt and Adam for Adam on like a desktop, like that was the best kind of virtual option. But
really? Does that still exist?
But my point is that there really wasn't so many options kind of virtually, like online. And so bathhouses were a thing. And I used to go to the West Side Club in New York on 20th Street and would have a blast and would go in there and make some friends.
I never did that. I mean, talk about being vulnerable. I would be like, I never did it because I always thought, what if I go in there and nothing happens? I'm going to be so mortified. But it was so weird, like in real life, IRL, like in a bar or something, I got to the point where I didn't take anything personally.
Right.
If somebody was into me, great. If somebody wasn't, great. And I came to the point where it's a 50-50 chance.
Right.
And most of the time, men just want to get off.
Yes. Just looking for a hole in a heartbeat.
Yeah. So, and then that made me really bold, but like not caring whether or not anybody said yes or no, but I never got that I never apply that to a bathhouse because I'm unfamiliar with the culture. So what happens when you go? You check your clothes, you get a locker. Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say, and then I'll tell you, but what I was going to say is that it's interesting because I feel like most people are more comfortable in a bar setting, kind of going up and, you know, having the courage to go and say hello to somebody.
Yes.
For some reason, for me, I always felt way more comfortable going into some of these situations, I think because of the fact that it's more of an anonymous culture. So you can go and obviously they can see you, but you're just kind of wandering around and it's very clear why everybody is there.
The intention is clear.
So what happens is you go in there and it's kind of like almost as if you're going to go buy like tickets to a movie theater or whatever. You go in and you say, yes, I would like, you know, kind of one room or one locker.
And a small popcorn and a soda and some Dippin' Dots. and Twizzlers and some malted milk balls, please.
Oh, there were malted milk balls for sure.
I bet.
Okay. And so you'd go in and you'd pay your fee and, you know, you'd get a key to a locker. They'd give you a towel. You'd check your kind of expensive belongings. You'd put your stuff in your locker. You'd wrap yourself in a towel and you'd walk around.
Yeah.
And you'd make eye contact with somebody, say, how you doing? You got a room. Let's go have fun. Bing, bang, boom.
And you go to the room and the room is like does it have a bed in it? Does it have a bench?
It's kind of just like a nice big closet.
Okay.
And it's got like a little light with a dimmer on it and a cot and a little table next to it with some condoms and lube.
Ooh.
And that's about it. And you go in there and you just have really lengthy, deep conversation.
Ooh, okay. Like a confessional, at church. But you know what? There's something so honest about that. There's no kind of guessing. It's kind of like, I think that's the thing with hookup culture is that when the agreement is mutual,
right?
I mean, there's something like about that. It's kind of like there's a tacit understanding within that culture, within the bathhouse culture, from what I've heard, is that it is about the anonymous sexual encounter. It falls under that category.
It's just a different energy. It's fun. Everybody's there for kind of the same reason. And most of the time, everybody's pretty chill and pretty cool. And it's fun. But though, I think the reason probably why I felt so comfortable with it was because the first time that I ever went, I think I was 20 years old. And at the time, I had a very close friend of mine. Looking back on it now, I realize what a mentor he was because he was 15 years older than me. But we were super tight. And he was kind of like an older gay brother, would hold my hand through, like, you know, navigating what it means to be a gay man.
I so resisted using a joke about you being super tight at 20. And I completely, I'm not going to do it. I'm not doing it.
I really, wow. I am mm-hmm. just like, you know, wowed by your restraint.
Not going to do
so, it. And so, you know, I had kind of, he had talked about a bathhouse and I was just very curious about it. And he's like, well, we can go one time. And, you know, and he would just kind of like show me around. And that's what happened. We went and he walked me around and showed me around. And then he's like, okay, I think I'm going to go. And I was like, okay, bye. I'm going to walk around and have fun now. And so I did.
And I
had fun. I met somebody and we, you know, kind of fooled now, around you, and it was
fun. There wasn't
fun.
Any part of you that was like, this is my very first time here.
No, I think just I needed to, because I, you know, I've had experience at that point. I had experiences hooking up and stuff. So yeah, I wasn't, yeah. you know, and, you know, I'd had some fun, but that was the first time just in a bathhouse. So I think I just needed a little bit of a helping hand to get over the discomfort of just walking into the place. Yeah, exactly. So many jokes. Hand. All right. Okay.
Hamburger helper.
Anyways, yes.
Yeah, a friend of mine took me to a sex club because I was curious about that. I was like, let's go. He said, I go to this one. It used to be in Silver Lake.
A sex club, is that not the same thing as a bathhouse?
There's no baths. There's no shower. It's like a building where there's all different rooms to all these different
That's pretty much what I'm talking about too.
Oh,
I mean, this has like some showers in it to shower off, but basically sex club, bathhouse. Yeah.
This didn't have a shower.
Okay. So you just had to deal with the muck.
So it was in Silver Lake and it had a backyard and it was called Basic Plumbing. And I believe it was on Hyperion down from Casita del Campo.
Uh-huh.
So this is what it was. There was one room that had bunk beds with rubber sheets.
Yes.
And you could watch porn. There was another room called the Corral where you walked in and there were men standing high above you where they could whip it out and you could blow them standing.
Oh.
You know? Okay.
They're like themed rooms. This is like the Disneyland of love.
And then afterwards, there was a backyard where everybody could just do whatever. I think there was even a sling. And so in the backyard, people were just, it was like they would gather in a circle and watch somebody do something.
Yes. Yep.
Or they would gather in a circle and it was a circle jerk, or they would watch somebody having sex.
Yeah. So
they would watch somebody getting it. And I was like, the longer I was there, I was like, it became less sexy to me.
Yeah,
I wasn't really kind of, it was kind of a leather crowd, a really leathery crowd. And look at me, I'm not really leathery. I've never been to have you been to the Folsom Street Fair? Ever?
No, I haven't, which I want to go to. I know, that's surprising, right?
We should go.
We'll do a live show from Folsom.
I have a harness. It's hilarious. When I hosted the Gay Porn Awards, I did a sketch where they bought me a little itty bitty Gaijin size one. So, it wasn't sexy to me. I was just and that's when I finally got, this isn't my thing.
Oh.
So maybe if that's not my thing, the bathhouse thing wouldn't be my thing. But well, I would
but
like
it
to.
It could be.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, and that's the whole point of all of this is that nothing has to be your thing forever. You can check things out. You could experiment. You could see what works, what doesn't work. Sometimes things will. Sometimes things won't. Sometimes it's short term and long term. But there's all kinds of things and nothing of it is wrong. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Hookup culture and how we navigate hookup culture, where we're going to answer your questions. So why don't we get to that?
Yeah. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hey, all you true crime fans, this is Mike Ferguson.
And this is Mike Morf.
And we'd like to invite you to listen to our podcast, Criminology.
Launched in 2017, we've covered a variety of strange cases from murders to missing persons. Some of the cases are ones you may not have heard of.
Other cases we cover are some of the most historic in true crime. There are 200 episodes of Criminology available to binge on right now. And new episodes come out every Saturday night.
Subscribe to Criminology today, wherever you listen to your podcast.
All right, we're back today. We're going to be answering all of your questions about hookup culture. Mm-hmm. Our first question is from Al on Instagram, who asks, why do some hookups feel so warm and intimate and others so dang cold and distant?
Mm.
What do you think?
Mm. Well, I think that's about the intention and your expectation of it. Mm-hmm. Do you know? I think that if you go in kind of expecting warm and fuzzy and you have somebody who's just going through the motions, it's going to feel gross and distant. Yeah. And then sometimes this is what I would always get from my hookups. They would always say this to me. you're so sweet.
Yeah.
You're so sweet. And I was like, what? And I said, you just love kissing and yeah. you're really into it. And yeah. I was like, I think what they were saying was that I was present.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I like that you shared that part about the kissing, because something that I have gotten over the years, had gotten into the habit of, is being really clear about what my intentions are. You know, oftentimes people say, like, what are you into? What are you into? And a lot of the time I would feel like I needed to kind of be almost like hypersexual about it. Like, ooh, I like it. You know, I really like to do this and I want to kind of throw you down. Or then I want you to do this to me and da, da, da. Which is like, maybe, yeah, okay, I could maybe be into that. But what I'm really into, I'm like kind of vanilla. And I also really love kissing. And so when I'm very passionate about that. And so but I used to feel like, oh, that might be too much for some people. And I thought, wait a minute, that's what I'm actually into. So yeah. I decided to make sure that I was really clear moving forward about what I was really into. And what I found was that people that weren't into that just kind of like maybe kind of trailed off or whatever. But then there was also a lot of people who were like, oh, great. Oh my God, me too. Mm. And it helps to kind of open the door and set the tone and expectations a little bit more, so that when you're meeting, there's maybe a greater likelihood that you might vibe, you might connect, and there might feel a little bit more warmth of kind of, you know, almost like regardless of what can happen from it. But so I would say, you know, make sure that you're being really, really clear about it, and don't let yourself feel shamed into hiding some of the most intimate parts. Yes. Yes.
I mean, so you'd be like presenting a menu, like, you know, we have some specials today. You had a yes. whole agenda, you know, for the appetizer. Listen, there's going to be a lot of kissing and hugging.
Yeah.
And, which is hard in
hookup culture because of the fact
that there's not a lot of talking.
There's not a whole lot of talking, but also there a lot of times can be a lot of fear around the intimacy that's involved in the sexual part of it, right? Like as if that means like that's too feminine, like you need to just be like rough and having sex, and this is all about just kind of doing the thing. But when you can actually say like, no, I actually like to feel connected. I like to feel the passion and the intimacy kind of like in just even if it's one moment, like I'm really into that. To say that is a really vulnerable thing, especially as a man, especially because of like toxic masculinity and what we think we have to be in order to be like enough of a man. So it challenges that. But if we're able to challenge that, that does a world of good for us. And it also helps set the tone for a hookup interaction and increases the likelihood for it to feel warm, warm and fuzzy.
I'm just imagining you in the ramble, like in the bushes.
But not in the bushes. I've been out in the open.
At 3 o'clock in the morning, going, listen, I'm really into kissing. We can get to the rest of first. But I really
tell me you love me.
Yeah. Or did you ever go to the meat rack in Fire Island?
I have, but I've just kind of, I only walked through it once, and there was a guy who was just totally naked flashing his thing like on a
Yeah. and that was enough. And then there are people smoking. So at some point when you're walking through, you would see just the cigarette butts glowing in the dark, which I thought was really dangerous because there's a lot of brush there. It's the summertime.
Alec, do we have another question?
Yes, you have all the questions. You are the key master.
Then I will ask the next question.
You're topping the show.
I am topping this conversation.
Okay, go slow.
No
go
problem.
Slow,
okay,
go
okay,
slow,
okay, okay, okay. Adam asks, does hooking up get in the way of forming deeper connections? Ooh, good question. Does hooking up get in the way of forming deeper connections? Thoughts?
Again, all right. Okay, so have you ever had this experience where you hooked up with somebody and you're like, I'd like to see you again?
Yes.
And has, I'm trying to think if I ever have. I have, yeah. Yeah, where I wanted to see that person again.
Yeah.
And then that's where it becomes really vulnerable. Because sometimes, you know, it's kind of like you don't want to be embarrassed. Like, no, we're just, what are you doing? We just had sex. Yeah, no. Yeah. Does it get in the way?
Yeah. So this is kind of my thought on it.
All right.
My thought is that it's easy to point the finger at the act itself as though that's problematic, right? As if hooking up is the problem. Hooking up is not the problem. What the problem is misguided intentions. And so if we find ourselves really craving deeper connections and intimacy with other people, yet we're only on maybe hookup apps to try and find that,
right?
It would be like what an old client of mine used to call shopping for milk at the hardware store.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And so you're not then going to be able to have a greater likelihood to find those deeper connections. It's not going on to hook up, like, you know,
you're
trying to find people to hook up.
You're not going to find milk at a hardware store, no matter how hard you try.
Maybe somewhere deep in the back of the hardware store, mm-hmm. they've got a gallon, right? But mm-hmm. like, likelihood is not so great. So, but being able to check in on maybe why we tend to find ourselves just veering towards opportunities to hook up when otherwise we might want deeper connections, because, you know, we might be shying away from the opportunities of deeper connections because we're just too scared for it. Right. Mm-hmm. And so then we conveniently start looking elsewhere, but that's something that we might just not be so conscious of. So it requires us to maybe raise a little bit more awareness about some of those things. What am I really looking for? And maybe right. why do I shy away from those opportunities? So not the hookups, but our intentions.
Our intentions and your expectations of it.
Yes.
I think that's great. I mean, it's the thing of like getting milk at a hardware store. I mean, that's absolutely true. And somebody told me, like, I think my therapist once told me that the riskier situation for people mm-hmm. is being intimate, being vulnerable.
Emotionally vulnerable.
And meeting somebody who really wants to get to know you.
Yes.
That is more risky than anything else.
Yes.
And there's very little risk. There's very little risk when it's an exclusively anonymous sexual, you know, thing.
Yeah. And that's why specifically for us as gay men, because of the fact that we, as any human beings do, we have such a need to be able to connect and to be intimate with other people. But when we grow up believing that there's something inherently wrong about who we are, it makes it hard for us to open our hearts up and actually open up in a more meaningful and authentic way to other people. But we still have a need to connect. So what do? We kind of channel all that energy to a physical connection, because even though obviously there's certain physical risks, there's not the emotional ones that feel really challenging for us. So it gives us a chance to try and meet that need in a very
different
way.
Now, how do you find yourself when that comes up for you? Do you find yourself going, I'm kind of just bypassing my own emotional needs right now? Or are you pretty clear and like, I just want to hook up?
I'm mostly pretty clear. I don't mm-hmm. always get it, you know, kind of spot on, but I just do a general check-in with myself. Right. And I'm like, you know, I've been hooking up a lot, but I kind of feel like I want to meet somebody. Like, okay, am I in the place? Do I really want to meet somebody right now? Or am I just having fun hooking up? Like, okay. So I check in, but I try not to overthink it.
All right.
But that's kind of it. So
I was completely unconscious in my hooking up for years and years and years and years and years.
Yeah,
just did
a lot
it.
Of people
I was
are,
like,
yeah.
you know, somebody who just wakes up one day and goes, oh my God, I'm smoking too much.
Yeah.
I feel like shit. My luck. It's like, I would just wouldn't even think about it. I would just impulse.
Well, okay. Let me ask you this question. Cause this All is right. kind of, cause it's kind of related. So the next question is from Insta Kevos. How you doing? All right. He asks, how do you compete with hookup culture when all you want is a lasting relationship? Oh,
I feel like that's the same question.
It's not, it's related though. It's related. Okay. It's not totally the same question.
All right.
Do you have any thoughts on that?
all right. I think it's the milk in the hardware store thing. It's kind of like,
but what do you do if you're looking, as you've talked about before, right? Like when you're looking for a long lasting relationship, we also tend to exist in a community where sometimes it's really hard. I mean, we're a wounded lot and a lot of people are scared to open up for that. And we're a smaller community anyway. So it kind of seems like sometimes the pickings are, you know, not so plentiful. So what do you do when it seems like everybody's willing to hook up, but not so many people are willing to invest in a vulnerable relationship?
Okay. I've had intimate moments with people where I got super physically intimate and they would go like, whoa, slow down. And I'd be like, what? And he goes, I want to get to know you.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, oh, come on, let's just do it. And then, but then after a while, I kind of really respected that. I really kind of like, unless I didn't want to see that person again. And most of the time I didn't, but, my husband, why am I whispering? He's in the other part of the room. He didn't want to do it when we first got together.
Oh.
Cause I was all about like, hit it and quit it. Just, you know, and he's like, no, I like you.
Awesome. I get familiar.
And I was like, okay. But I really wanted to see him again. You know what I mean? Cause we'd become friends first.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I really wanted to see him again. So it worked.
Well, I'm glad that worked. I'm glad that worked out for you. Right.
Yeah.
I think probably, Probably a couple of things. One is to just be really, as you were asking me, right? Like, you know, how do you know what your intentions are? Just be clear with yourself. All you can ever do is just ask yourself consciously, what am I really looking for? Right? Like, am I looking for a relationship, and where am I going to find that? If you find yourself on Grindr and Scruff, maybe that's not the best place to start. And you know, so make sure that you're aligning yourself with your intentions, right? Kind of places that can have a greater likelihood of helping meet that. Beyond that, you can't control it, unfortunately, right?
You can't.
All you can ever do is be the change that you wish to see in the world. So model what it looks like to be vulnerable.
Kick
to
Gandhi.
Which is a Mahatma Gandhi quote. Yeah. And so put yourself in that space where there's the potential for it. Open yourself up. Let people know what you're interested in. Let them know that you're interested in them. Yeah. And then surrender the need to try and control for anything else, right? Just let, then you can kind of see where, you know, the chips may fall, and either it may work, it may not, but to not personalize it.
I mean, I love that you said that, being in alignment with your intentions and let go of the attachment to results, because there's something about like going out with an agenda, like, all right, if that doesn't happen, because you can't control it, then you get home and you're miserable, right? Been there, done that.
Yeah.
And then if you let go of the expectations and let the chips fall where they may, and then you meet great people and you have a great time and you're relaxed and you're more yourself, it's just a more expansive feeling.
Totally.
And it gives you it's a more abundant way of thinking.
Yes. Oh my God. Okay. That actually perfectly rolls into our next question, which I think will help us elaborate this a little bit more.
We're symbiotic here.
We're symbiotic. I love this. We're so in flow. Okay. Mm-hmm. So our next question is from Wham Bam Dan Cam.
he's very relationship minded, this one. I can tell.
Wham Bam Dan Cam. Okay. So Wham Bam Dan Cam wants to know, why do I associate sex with personal validation? Is it a gay thing? Too much porn?
All right.
Yeah. But overall, why do we associate sex with personal validation?
I can answer that
as a
recovering sex and love addict. Personal validation sex, it is always symptomatic of you don't have enough validation of yourself. That if you seek sex as validation, it's often out of a deficit. It's not a bad thing. It's just something that I wasn't aware of. The minute I discovered that, it was like gold. I'm trying to fill myself up from the outside.
Yes. And on the inside.
And on the inside. And on the inside. Trying to fill the hole.
External validation.
Yes, external. It's external validation. And the more you kind of like realize your value as a person, and you start sticking up for yourself, it's kind of like, this is another therapist thing. It's kind of like, why do I always hook up with guys who just want to hook up? It's like my therapist said, why do you always put yourself in that situation?
Yeah, totally.
Why do you always put yourself in that situation? And he also told me, and my therapist is really, really good. He said, I can't teach anybody self-esteem. That's too amorphous. It's too shapeless. Mm-hmm. I can teach you how to, but what's really tangible is self-respect.
Yes.
When you respect yourself, it's like, I'm not going to put myself in a situation that's going to be regrettable. I'm not going to make a choice which is going to make me feel bad, because I care about myself and, you know, what's worth it.
Yes, I mostly agree with that. Because I get cautious, because it starts to sound like a little judgy, a little kind of like value setting or whatever, about like, you know, you're disrespecting yourself. I don't know that it's about that. Again, I would say probably.
But don't you think you respect things you put a value on, like yourself?
Well, I guess maybe kind of like a more neutral way of just kind of assessing a situation is by saying, what are my intentions? It brings us back to that, right? And are these misguided intentions? It's not like, oh, I'm disrespecting myself because I don't care about me. It's just like, am I trying to get, you know, one thing from a different place than I, you know, could potentially get it from? And so kind of checking in on that part of it.
What, getting one thing from a different place that I could get it from?
All right, let me say, okay, so I'll just speak personally. Okay. So there are for sure moments that I know when I am showing up for my life and I am, you know, I've got meaningful connections with other people I'm, you know, invested into meaningful work. And I do kind of all the things that are about like self-care and taking care of myself.
Like alignment.
My cup is full, right? Mm-hmm. My cup is full. And what I notice is that when I put myself out there to meet other people, potentially for dating or maybe for hooking up, I know that I go into those situations with a greater sense of calm, because I'm not trying to gain anything from it except from a potential experience or maybe a connection. And conversely, as I've actually, I'll be honest with you, I've experienced this over the last year. I have not been doing the best job of filling my cup up, and I've just been kind of tired, and I've just been kind of pulling away from certain things. And I noticed that I do, or have, you know, kind of more recently have started kind of like grasping for things like, I want, you know, maybe this boy will want to date me, or, you know, maybe I could have fun in having sex with this person and that'll feel good. And
I like that voice that you did earlier.
And that's me reaching externally for validation. And that's what we've talked about before in here too, which is attachments. Now I'm attaching the need for the outcome of this connection to be positive, and then for them to validate me in order to feel like a success. Now it's not just about a connection with the person. It's about kind of like, oh, tell me I'm good enough.
I know.
That's when it's problematic.
I know. That's when it's problematic, because you hook up with somebody and you're not going to get that from them.
No.
You're not going to, it's like you can hook up. I finally got it when I was like, okay, I'm having a whole bunch of sex and I'm feeling lonely. Yeah. I'm having a whole bunch of sex and I'm not feeling cherished. I'm not feeling loved. It's kind of like, well, it's just because it's sex.
Yeah.
So you're not taking care of yourself. But when you take care of yourself, you, like you said, you show up with a full well.
Yes.
And it's less like, give me all this good.
When you've got a full cup, then, you know, whatever runs over is what everybody else gets.
Well, wham, bam, dam, cam, slam, jam. Yes. I hope that answers your question.
All right. Well, let's see if we can throw one more in here.
Okay.
So let's see. Beep, bop, boop. La, la. Okay. This is a good one. I think we should talk about this. All right. Our next question is from Brian.
Okay, Brian.
PrEP and condoms, or PrEP by itself? Most guys do PrEP by itself, but there's other STDs. All right. That's very topical. And a good conversation for us to have. But is this something, I'm curious, at this point of where you are and hooking up, like, are you on PrEP? Is that
I'm
like
on PrEP.
You're on PrEP. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so
we both went off of it during the pandemic, because it's like, well, I'm home.
Like, why?
Can't go anybody.
Yeah. Okay.
I still don't feel like hooking up with anybody. I'm not going to, you know.
Okay. In other circumstances, then, when you're on PrEP, and you go and hook up with somebody, are you taking other precautions? Are you using condoms?
There's always going to be a condom. I feel like I protected my HIV status for so long.
Right.
For so long. It's kind of like, even if there's the slightest chance that I can get HIV, why expose myself to that risk? Do you know what I mean?
It seems as though, medically speaking, that
the whole point of PrEP is that you could do it without it.
Is that you can, well, is that... It is that it is not that necessarily the whole point of PrEP is not that you can necessarily do it without it, without a condom. Mm-hmm. The whole point of PrEP is that it becomes one extra safety precaution that almost eliminates, but like significantly reduces the likelihood that you'll be able to contract HIV. But it is not meant to be a cure all against all STIs. And so that's the thing.
You could still get other stuff. You could still get cooties from other stuff. And it's kind of like, also, you know, it's meeting somebody and hooking up and getting it in my poop hole was never ram it up your poop chute was never part of my repertory.
Yeah,
I usually just go, you know, I would hook up and roll around with somebody and suck and do everything else. Right.
Do the deed.
Yeah. Do the deed. And that was enough, because like, to me, kind of like fucking is like a little more personal. I never got that all that anonymous about it.
Oh,
you know
I
what
did.
I mean? I never. I yeah, you did.
I did. Yes.
Because I kind of have a cursed butthole, like, because meaning that if you
I've heard that about you, Alec.
Yeah, it's true. Read it on Reddit. If you fuck me really, really good, because I think most guys aren't that great in bed.
Yeah.
If you get me really, really good, then I'm like, I'm in love with you.
Yeah.
Like chemicals get released in my body and I'm like,
I can catch feelings easy too. So, so I hear you. I think this is kind of the best way that I'll try to answer this question is that everybody has to make the best decisions that they can for themselves. I would say, number one, consult your doctor, talk to your medical professional, your PCP or whomever, and just have the conversation. Even just having the conversation with a professional like that is already helping you to practice that vulnerability and feel a little bit more comfortable having these conversations. be clear and upfront with other people than when, you know, you're meeting up with them about what your expectations are, what your hopes are, you know, and all of that.
Your hopes and dreams.
Your hopes and dreams. But in terms of that, right? Kind of just like, are you on PrEP or, you know, what do you feel comfortable with? Are you into this or that or whatever? Do you want to wear a condom? Whatever. So have those conversations.
I'm perfectly comfortable having those conversations.
Good. And that's good. That's great though. And you've done a lot of work to get to a point. Not everybody is, you know, it's like usually people will maybe try to like backpedal after the fact and try
this
to.
This is your life. This is your HIV status. So I think that it's kind of like, just realize what's at stake.
Yes.
And you know,
realize that by talking to your medical professional and then making your own decision around what kinds of risks that you feel comfortable taking. Sex, if you're having sex, there will always be some risk. There's no such thing as a risk-free sexual encounter. So there's always going to be a risk. What we're talking about is risk reduction and how you might be able to get yourself to a point where you feel like you're taking an appropriate amount of reductive practices around risks so that you can take care of yourself. But that is a personal choice that you can hopefully consult with a doctor.
Side effects may include increased bowel movements and the inability to control them.
Speaking of inability for control, we've got one final question.
Are we at the end?
But the final question, and it's a good one. I have to ask it. This one's from Darling Dolling. And they want to know, do you unintentionally psychoanalyze Alec in your head when he shares? Okay, so it's my question, so I guess I'll answer it. I'm going to say no, because I do not have the capacity to do that deep dive. I don't have the brain power for all of that right now.
You don't have the bandwidth to process me? I've never been so insulted today. I mean, you know, listen, it's baked into the title. It's called Hot Mess. It's not called I Have It Together with Matthew Dempsey. It's called Hot Mess.
And the beautiful thing about it, and this is your brainchild, right? You came up with it. The beautiful thing about a show like this is that I don't have to psychoanalyze because Alec has done so much of his own incredible emotional work. He comes to the table and tells it all. So it's like, I don't have to try and dig deep and figure it out. He knows his own shit.
Okay, wait. Okay, you stopped me like on the self-respect thing earlier. You'll stop me. I mean, you listen. You go, okay, yes. I don't agree with that. I somewhat agree with that.
Yes.
But have I ever said anything on the show where you're like, this guy's bananas. That something's wrong with her.
No.
Every single episode.
Yeah. Not sometimes. A lot of the time.
Okay, on that note, we are going to take a little break. Petite break. And then we'll come back with your hot message for the day. We're back. And what's your hot message for the day in hookup culture?
Wow. All right. Kind of basic, I think, but I guess I would just say my hot message around hookup culture is there is nothing right or wrong about it. Don't try to use some sort of kind of bullshit moral lens around what's okay and what's not and try to judge the situation. Just check in with what your intentions are. And if your intention is to just play and have fun and connect with people, and that's what you're looking for, then go and hook up. Mm. If your intention and desire is to connect in a more meaningful way, maybe try to find some kind of romance or whatever, then, you know, maybe go on dating apps or put yourself out there in a different kind of way. But just be clear with yourself and ask yourself the vulnerable question of what is it that your heart wants or what is it that your hole wants? And then you can follow accordingly.
Your heart or your hole.
What's your hot message, Alec?
Well, I mean, that's perfectly, I mean, just, I love it because what you're talking about is alignment. And your intentions change. Do you know what I mean? But my hot message of the day is, and I wish that somebody had told me this when I was a young gay kid, hookup culture isn't for everybody.
No.
It's kind of really important. I mean, and the answer to me was, you know, is hookup culture your thing? It would be like, sometimes yeah, sometimes
yeah.
No. Sometimes yes. I want to cuddle. Sometimes I want to meet somebody special and sometimes I don't. So, but really kind of like ask yourself and be in alignment with yourself. It might not be for you.
Yes.
And if it's not your thing.
Good point. Yes.
If it's not your thing, that's okay. That is important information because if it's not your thing and you put yourself into the hookup culture, you're not going to have a good time. You're not going to enjoy it. So just know that. And if it's not your thing, put yourself out there in a completely different way.
Really great point. I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. Because not everybody's like you, Matt.
Ha 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 ha! dare you.
Walking around in a towel at 20 years old. I'm jealous. I should have tried it. I think it's too late now. I'm just too, I do too. It's
never too late.
No. Maybe if I wore a mask of some kind, maybe.
Well, perfect. It's during COVID. So yeah, it's
Halloween's just around the corner. Where can people find you on your socials, big boy?
You can find me at MJ Dempsey Psych on Instagram and Twitter, and Matthew J. Dempsey Psychotherapy on Facebook.
And YouTube soon enough. You can find him on YouTube. There's going to be a big Matthew Dempsey renaissance.
Okay. Can we not?
All new content. I can't.
I'm regretting sharing the backstory.
I love your videos.
I know, but I'm not trying to pump it up before it. All right, anyway, Anna, where can they find you?
We should do one together.
Okay, yes. We did. We've done videos together before.
No, that was a group effort.
All right, where can people find you on socials?
You can find me at Alec Mappa on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, at Alec Mappa. And you can find us both at The Hot Mess Pod.
Yes.
On Instagram. Send us your questions. We love hearing from you. This was fun. Did you enjoy this?
I did. You can also find us at Stage 29 Productions, which is our production company.
At Stage 29 Productions.
Yes. And I loved this conversation.
Yeah. Don't forget to download and subscribe. This is the show. We talk about really personal stuff every week with some of your favorite celebrities. And because we want to make this normal, talking about mental health, so that when people talk about mental health, it's not such a big deal.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much for tuning in. Download and subscribe. Don't forget. And we'll see you next week on the Hot Mess Pod.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
This has been a Stage 29 podcast production. The podcast is executive produced by Patty Ciano, Laferne Cusack, and Stephanie Kaysen. Our audio editors are Jackson Ruff and Jonathan DeMatti. Callie Kiltz is the social media producer, and a special thanks to the rest of our podcast crew, Rwani Horinage, William Cusack, Lisa Clark, Katie Brown, and Morgan Kaler.
This podcast has been produced by Stage 29 Productions for entertainment purposes only. The contents of this podcast does not constitute medical or professional advice, do not reflect the opinions of this company, any of its parent companies, affiliates, subsidiaries, promotional sponsors, or advertising agencies. The views expressed by the hosts and guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. For more information, please go to stage29.tv.